The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Mendel Rivers to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nubs. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner. The revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on reports from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still lights of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he had been saving for just the right occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so goddamn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally screwed Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Arm Women Liberationists and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Keyes, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, or Engelbert Humperdinck. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised. Will not be televised. Not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
The normal mechanisms by which democratic participation are rendered possible in this country have been closed shut.
This one is dedicated to the dreamers. Most people see things that are there and ask why. Dreamers see things that aren't there and ask why not. I'm dreaming with you.
They tell you we are dreamers.
They tell you we are dreamers. The true dreamers are those who think things can go on indefinitely the way that they are.
We are not dreamers.
We are dreamers. We are the awakening.
From a dream which is turning into a nightmare.
We are not destroying anything. We are only witnessing how the system is destroying itself. We all know the classic scenes from cartoons. The cart reaches a precipice, but it goes on walking. Ignoring the fact that there is nothing beneath it. Only when it looks down and notices it, it falls down. This is what we are doing here. We are telling the guys there on Wall Street, hey, look down!
Times Square. I'm at Liberty Square. The place is packed. The UN mic is on. They are making announcements. There seems to be some breaking news.
Late last night!
We received notice from the owners of Zuccotti Park!
We received notice from the owners of Zuccotti Park!
Brookfield Properties that they are postponing their cleaning!
The people united will never be defeated! The people united will never be defeated!
We have a victory here.
The people united will never be defeated.
And I'm with a supporter, and what your name is?
Pat Fry.
And how do you interpret this new development?
It's a victory. There are so many people down at this park this morning that came out 5, 6 o'clock. The turnout here is terrific, and unions are mobilizing their membership to get down here internally. This is really a show of solidarity like we haven't seen in many years.
Massive crowd here. What do you think is going to be going on from now on?
Well, I think they're going to be prepared to defend the park.
And why do you think this is so important?
They said it. We're fighting for a new world. And I say we, but we're following the lead of these young people that are really showing us the way. This is a new day for the progressive movement and for the fight against Wall Street excess. It's got to stop.
Thanks so much. You look to make some comments on what's going on here.
Yeah, it's a gathering of people who are outraged at the disparity in income and wealth in the country, at the flight of jobs for decades, at the lack of care by our political so-called leaders for our country and for our future, at the graduation by students with enormous debt, at the spending of hundreds of billions of dollars every year on war. It's people who are saying enough is enough, and that's why people are here. That's why I'm here.
Why do you think the city caved?
Oh, because it's been clean. So it was just a pretext to get us out. And people stood up, they recognized it, and they said, no way. Yeah, I think the number of people made a difference, and Occupy It for the People as a forum, as a public assembly that's peaceful to discuss the future of our country.
Larissa Peterson is with us now. From last night to this morning, I happen to have seen this particular woman who was ardent about the cleaning. But I was never clear that the park even needed cleaning.
There's been cleaning happening throughout the occupation. There are various work groups that have been formed by volunteers who each have a part in the process. Cleaning has been ongoing. But there have been also sleeping areas and living areas, and that is what the Brookfield Properties Company took issue with. Though really they take issue with us being here, and that's the excuse. So we decided to beat them at their own game and clean up as much as was possible and leave the park spotless.
On the broader issue, there still is concern that the city has talked about that they do not want people to be here with sleeping bags and tarps, which is a virtual challenge as winter comes on. So what do you think about that?
It's a very clear plan to get us out of the park by not letting us have structures or sleeping bags or any sort of comfort. But that alone won't stop us. Either we'll continue to have the things here and then the city won't really come in and sweep us. If they decide to forcibly remove all of those materials, we can just come in and stay here in shifts. And if in the end we are forced out of the park, there are other places to congregate in the city, and the movement is now not only nationwide but worldwide.
In mid-April 2011, the Chinese government prohibited on TV and films and in novels all stories that contain alternate reality or time travel. This is a good sign for China. It means if people still dream about alternatives, so you have to prohibit this dream. Here we don't think of prohibition because the ruling system has even oppressed our capacity to dream. Look at the movies that we see all the time. It's easy to imagine the end of the world,
an asteroid destroying the whole life and so on.
But you cannot imagine the end of capitalism. So what are we doing here? Let me tell you a wonderful old joke from communist times. A guy was sent from East Germany to work in Siberia. He knew his mail would be read by censors. So he told his friends, let's establish a code. If a letter you get from me is written in blue ink, it is true. If it is written in red ink, it is false. After a month, his friends get a first letter. Everything is in blue. It says, this letter, everything is wonderful here. Stores are full of good food. Movie theaters show good films from the West. Apartments are large and luxurious. The only thing you cannot buy is red ink. This is how we live. We have all the freedoms we want, but what we are missing is red ink, the language to articulate our non-freedom. the way we are taught to speak about freedom, war and terror and so on, falsifies freedom. And this is what you are doing here. You are giving all of us red ink.
It's extremely important to begin to speak in a language of justice and truth, which I think cuts across ideological lines. I mean, it's not accidental that Ron Paul in this ridiculous straw poll in Iowa came in second. Now, the major media ignored it because it doesn't fit their narrative. But I think even within the right wing, and certainly among the libertarians within the spectrum of politics, there is an anger at corporatism that you find among anarchists. And of course it should, because it is a system built on deep inequity, deep injustice, theft, greed, corruption, and fraud, which affects 99% of the American population. So I think if we stick to those issues and we understand that acts of violence is exactly how the state wants us to react, they know what to do with that.
How did you get involved? Did you join the media committee?
I joined the media committee because that's where I could offer my services. But I don't pretend to know enough to be one of the people who would be sending out any kind of public message, tweeting, or putting content on the website. Having said that, everyone who does do that is pretty certain not to put their personal stamp on it. They're just representing what's going on. They're just amplifying existing voices. And I think that's a big part of what the movement's about. No one's in charge. No one's saying what it's about. Everyone's just allowing everyone a voice in the culture.
Can you give me a sense of what, like, the media committee has been? How has the media committee been organizing? And, like, more or less, maybe, I don't know, give me a sense of, like, who's involved in the media committee.
Well, I meet different people. A lot of the same people every time I come, but it gets a little bigger. I wasn't here when they started the Twitter feeds. There's probably about five main ones and the two main websites. One is the one for OccupyWallStreet.org, but then there's Occupy Together, which is all the national Occupy movements. Okay. Everyone is very discreet about who really started it and who's really organized it because it so quickly became something organic. Everyone just is on the internet all day long, retweeting and tweeting and making sure that content going out is representative.
Have you been writing anything
specific? I am starting to write something. Okay. I would not post it until it felt right, for I would run it by other people and say if I felt it was representative. I just feel that Occupy Wall Street is under such scrutiny, and the kinds of ideas that people have about it are sort of from a different paradigm, and I want to express that this is something other than it's definitely a revolution, but it comes from a generation that's used to seeing a collective voice because they came into adulthood when the internet was already existing. And I think that allows for a non-hierarchical revolution and one that is comfortable with not defining itself so early.
Like, how do you guys monitor, or how do you feel like the media committee has been working that to try and monitor and
say, I don't think anyone's
say, is this okay, or is this
right.
Like, what do we want to promote, or like what
no
what lines
censorship
are,
at all, except when someone pretends to be the voice of a collective ideology.
Okay.
And that doesn't happen very often, but someone was circulating a piece of paper that said these are our official non-negotiable demands. Well, nobody had done that.
Okay.
And
so
that happened today. Someone
okay.
circulated it on paper, like wildly, like hundreds of copies wow. of wasted paper.
And then what?
No one knew where it came from, but someone got up and did a mic check and said, "That's not
okay.
us."
So did you take any action on that, or like decided like?
Well, like tweeting, the mic check
is an organic way of amplifying a single voice into a collective voice. Okay. And very quickly, through a mic check, they just said, this isn't coming from any organized point of view. It's some random collective demands that we didn't make. So it was dismissed. You know, I think what Occupy Wall Street is at this point is a platform for people to express themselves and to express their suffering and to express their ideas for how to fix the suffering. But there's so much room for so many voices to be heard before anyone wants to make anything specific.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things that like in mainstream media, there's been, yes, you know, portrayal of some issues more than others.
Yes.
But like, and then when you come here, there's like basically, you know, there's so many different points of view that you're right. Like, how do you portray this? Like, you know, in a media sense, or what kind of...
I think it's just a matter of patience, you know, like the baby is 3 weeks old and people want it to be born. Like, let it gestate and grow and become what it's supposed to be. Because who knows who's going to join it? The Tea Party might join it. The ideas aren't specifically progressive. They're about, for lack of a better term, thinking outside the box.
Yeah.
For lack of... I mean, that term itself is so conservative, but... if we came up with solutions now, they would be so within the system that they're inherently not going to work.
Okay.
Because if you say the bankers need to be brought to justice, oh, we're going to form a Senate investigation committee, tell me how many years that's going to take. And then tell me that, you know, with a change in the inevitable change in administration, because no matter who's in office, the opposite party will discredit them, so that every 4 years we have a different administration, and then anything they do, the next administration spends all their energy undoing. So we never move forward, we never solve problems. Senate investigation, that's like 5 years. Then they're going to put out, you know, a piece of paper that no one will read, and then it's going to be disputed. And meanwhile, these guys are living great lives with their country houses and jetting around wherever they're... Like, no. What needs to happen is thinking of a completely new paradigm. As opposed to mainstream media, which takes a stand, which doesn't just act as a reflection of what's occurring, mainstream media has an opinion these days. It was never supposed to.
Yeah.
This media group is the return to what media is supposed to do,
okay,
reporting what's existing, what's happening in real time.
Yeah.
No commentary, no editorial, no pundit speak. It's just, hey, go to this art gallery. There's a pop-up art show. Hey, check out the demonstration over here. Hey, this group is meeting over here. Hey, look at this picture someone uploaded.
Okay.
It's all just, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. Not, this is happening and this is what it means, or this is happening and this is what I think about it. No, it's what media was supposed to be. Reporting, not commenting.
I say the hungry should have food. I speak for many when I say no one should have seven homes. While some don't have any, though I may find myself stranded in some strange place with naught but a vapid stare, I remember the world and I know we are everywhere. And I say the time for the rich, it will come. Let me count the ways, victories or hints of the future. Havana, Caracas, Chiapas, Buenos Aires. How many people are wanting and waiting and fighting for their share? They hide in their ivory towers, but we are everywhere. Religions and prisons and races, borders and nations, FBI agents and congressmen, and corporate radio stations. foundations. They try to keep us apart, but we find each other, and the rulers are always aware that they're a tiny minority, and we are everywhere. With every bomb that they drop, every home they destroy, every land they invade, comes a new generation from under the rubble saying, we are not afraid. They will pretend we are few, but with each child that a billion mothers bear, comes the next demonstration that we are everywhere. We are everywhere. We are everywhere.
What drew you to Liberty Square?
Just feel like it's about time. Things are really very wrong in this country, and we need to start this dialogue. The people who are in charge, whether it's corporations or government, are not very interested in having this dialogue. So right now, we need to make as much noise as possible to make sure that this dialogue happens. And that's what's important. Because we are the 99%. Because this is about everybody. It's not Republican, Democrat, black, white, young, old, homeless, jobless, whatever it is. It concerns us all. Because only 1% really has the money and the power.
You're taking your cues from the international movement in... How do you want to see this in? What do you, if you could have it in a perfect way, how would it be?
Well, I don't know. It's really difficult to kind of answer questions leading to those conclusions. I'd say that we didn't take our cue off of anybody, really. It became a more spontaneous movement. As far as seeing this end, I wouldn't like to see it end. I'd like to see the conversation continue. This is what we should have been talking about after 2008 when the economy collapsed. We basically patched a hole on the tire and said, yeah, let the car keep rolling. Unfortunately, it's fun to talk to the propaganda machine in the media, especially conservative leading networks such as yourself, because we find that we can't get conversations on the Department of Justice's ongoing investigation of News Corporation, for which you are an employee, but we can certainly ask questions like, you know, why are the poor engaging in class warfare? Now, after 30 years of having our living standards decrease while the wealthiest 1% have had it better than ever, I think it's time for maybe, I don't know, some participation in our democracy that isn't funded by news cameras and gentlemen such as yourself.
Hope has a cost. Hope is not comfortable or easy. Hope requires personal risk. It is not about the right attitude or peace of mind. Hope is action. Hope is doing something. The more futile, the more useless, the more irrelevant and incomprehensible an act of rebellion is, the vaster and more potent hope becomes. Hope never makes sense. Hope is weak, unorganized, and absurd. Hope, which is always nonviolent, exposes in its powerlessness the lies, fraud, and coercion employed by the state. Hope knows that an injustice visited on our neighbor is an injustice visited on all of us.
It's now Saturday morning, and we're focusing with Occupy Wall Street, thousands of people who are marching on Chase Bank to demonstrate that number one in American home foreclosures is Chase Bank, that they had received $94.7 billion in bailout money and then immediately laid off 14,000 workers, and that Chase CEO Jamie Dimon gave himself a record-setting bonus last year. Occupy Wall Street Day of Action against banks. We're here with Russell Simmons and thousands and thousands of others. And obviously, there's something affirmative. I can see it in your face for you being here. If you can explain to us why you feel positive about the activities.
I have a simple scenario. We take the money out of Washington, let the people govern the country, not business. And all of the signs about the prison industrial complex and all of the signs about breaking up the unions and all the discussions about moving jobs offshore unjustly, and all the signs about tax breaks and all that stuff goes away the minute the people rule. Would the people say, okay, hedge funds don't pay taxes? So we're not governed by the people, we're governed by Wall Street, and we want to change that. We're here because they're part of the 100%. I mean, they say the 99%, but really it's the 100%. Anybody who's smart enough knows isolation is sickness. And if communities are suffering, then they're here for all communities. And they know that the rights that they protect for themselves are no more valuable than the rights they protect for others. Should be that the politicians work for the people who elect them, not the corporations who control them. And the corporations should not have access to these politicians. It's simple. When the Supreme Court said, oh, it's the corporations are people, they lied. And they made a bad mistake and have to reverse that. It may take a constitutional amendment, but they have to take the money out of Washington.
We're here having just circled Chase Bank with a young woman and her daughter. She's a resident of the area, and I'm interested in how she views the occupation of Liberty Square. And you are?
I'm Jane Sujen Bach, and I'm here with my daughter, Liana Chow.
And you are?
Daughter?
Liana.
And how old are you?
12. I think that it's a good protest because there's a good cause that the rich people shouldn't be getting so rich and that the poor people are getting too poor.
Now, as a resident, what do you think about this occupation?
We've lived downtown for decades. And I walk through Zuccotti Park every day on my way to and from work. And it has been incredibly moving to see the young people organize among themselves and then inspire other people from all walks of life. This morning I was so upset to read in the New York Times that the bankers feel that it's just a bunch of people who don't have anything else to do who are here protesting. I know that not to be true. We live in the heart of the financial district. There are people on every spectrum who care, who want to see this country be more just, who want to see a financial system that isn't just about only enriching the people at the top, but that also cares so that people at every level of this country have opportunity and have good lives.
And do you want to expand a bit on your reasons for being here in terms of the role of banks in the financial crisis?
I represent homeless families. Many of our families have become homeless because of the financial practices of the largest institutions. We see people who become homeless because of foreclosure. So it would be in everyone's interest if these practices could be reformed, if we could have a new direction in this country that really was aimed at giving everyone a fair chance. I'm a lawyer for the Legal Aid Society, and I represent homeless families. It's so sad that I have more clients now than when I began this work decades ago because of the increasing inequality.
There was a very important lawsuit on what's known as the Advantage Program, where people who were exiting the shelter were given some amount of money to have housing for some limited amount of time. Can you just tell us the status of the Advantage Program?
In the Advantage Program, the city entered into contracts with the homeless families and the landlords so that the city would subsidize the rent of families leaving shelter to give families 1 or 2 years to get on their feet and be able to pay market rents. They were contracts, and if they had been treated like business contracts, the city would have been made to honor them. But instead, the city unilaterally cut off the rent subsidies and told the families that they were on their own, leaving 16,000 families without a way to pay their rent. We have had a trial and lost, and that is now on appeal. But 11,000 families are now on the brink of eviction because the city is insisting that they do not have to honor those contracts.
There's a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
20,000 every day that's hungry and dying. I'm supplying that stack, that's a UN back fat. Who cares about that? Got a new SUV and it's black, plus I bang gangster rap. Seriously, I used to listen to it, to the music, till a conscious rapper introduced truth, then I knew it. Listening to this, if you forget it, then you blow it. If you earn it, it's through it, they really go to war for you. Take the next step and be against the next war. More more human, show me more animals, I believe. Animals, you know, and take what they need. I am Iraqi, Afghani, I'm Palestinian, I'm African, I'm Latino, I'm every native, every native, every native. I am every person that's oppressed. Rest. One of us is hurt, we all should feel stressed. We should be able to live wherever we want.
That's right.
Borders don't exist, really, it's just the front. I mean, man made them up, they got humanity stuck. All people created equal with the earth as our mother. Made your minds in the sand to pit brother against brother in the past. My ethnicity is other if you ask. Corporations globalize trade to make the world one. That's something to globalize liberation from. Globalize people's interests, they only globalize their business. That's the difference, because this business is the world's true foe. Most have only three letters, one's the WTO. They could be called WTF because they a mess. They don't do it proper, opposite of democracy. They pollute the air, they consider it their property. They take the earth's rainwater, they make it a commodity. People buy bottled water, I can't bottle it. It bothers me, it's how I believe. I'm spelling every I'm backwards and that spells naive. I drink filtered water, never drink that quarter water. Any money I make goes to organic food orders. Any cash after that, that's something I give back. The groups is on track to fight back, I like that. I'm a different type of cat. I am Iraqi, Afghani, I'm Palestinian, I'm African, I'm Latino, I'm every native, any native. I am every person that's oppressed. Rest. One of us is hurt, we all should feel stressed. We're all equal and created, some learn to have hatred. I think they hate themselves if they became a racist. We're all from the same source, I don't have time to explain. Look it up, take a course. The world's crazy and rash. One way to stay sane is to sit back and laugh. People say we can't win and do nothing more or less. It's a moral test, do nothing less than your best. Winning doesn't matter, la lucha es importante. We're born and you can't escape it, like Carlito Brigante. Quiero derechos humanos para los immigrantes. We're raised to not care about the human population. It's a craze to only find where to go on vacation. There's really two directions to direct education. Join the system, it's great, or break and teach liberation.
Come on.
I always say that, that's a fact that it's needed.
The people united will never be defeated.
Never. I am Iraqi, Afghani, I'm Palestinian, I'm African, I'm Latino, I'm every native, every native. That's oppressed. One of us is hurt, we all should feel stressed.
College's teacher wasn't figuratively colorblind. He taught us ethnic relations and was literally blind. In college, this teacher wasn't figuratively colorblind. He taught us ethnic relations and was literally blind.
All people are created equal members of one human family. You can get that on a bumper sticker at onehumanfamily.info.
Don't fall in love with yourself. We have a nice time here. But remember, carnivals come cheap. What matters is the day after, when we will have to return to normal life. Will there be any changes then? I don't want you to remember these days. You know, like, oh, we were young, it was beautiful. Remember that our basic message is we are allowed to think about alternatives. The rule is broken. We do not live in the best possible way. But there is a long road ahead. There are truly difficult questions that confront us. We know what we do not want. But what do we want? What social organization can replace capitalism? What type of new leaders do we want? Remember, the problem is not corruption or greed. The problem is the system.
It pushes you to corrupt.
Beware not only of the enemies, but also of false friends who are already working to dilute this process.
The same way
you get coffee without caffeine, beer without alcohol, ice cream without fat. They will try to make this into a harmless moral protest, a decaffeinated protest. But the reason we are here is that we have enough of a world where to recycle Coke cans or to tie a Starbucks cappuccino, where 1% goes to the world's starving children, is enough to make us feel good. After outsourcing work and torture, we can see that for a long time, we allowed our political engagement also to be outsourced. We want it back. We are not communists. If communism means the system which collapsed in 1990, remember that today, those communists are the most efficient, ruthless China today, we have capitalism, which is even more dynamic than your American capitalism, but doesn't need democracy, which means when you criticize capitalism, don't allow yourselves to be blackmailed that you are against democracy. The marriage between democracy and capitalism is over. The change is possible. What do we consider today possible? Just follow the media. On the one hand, in technology and sexuality, everything seems to be possible. You can travel to the moon. You can become immortal by biogenetics. You can have sex with animals or whatever. But look at the fields of society and economy. There, almost everything is considered impossible. You want to raise taxes a little bit for the rich? They tell you it's impossible. We lose competitivity. You want more money for healthcare? They tell you impossible. This means totalitarian state. Is something wrong in the world where you are promised to be immortal but cannot spend a little bit more for healthcare? Maybe that standards are already straight here. We don't want higher standards of living. We want a better standard of living. The only sense in which we are communists is that we care for the commons of nature, the commons of what is privatized by intellectual property, the commons of biogenetics. For this and only for this we should fight. Communism failed absolutely, but the problems of the commons are here. They are telling you we are not Americans here. But the conservative fundamentalists who claim they are really American have to be reminded of something. What is Christianity? It's the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit? It's an egalitarian community of believers who are linked by love for each other and who only have their own freedom and responsibility to do it. In this sense, the Holy Spirit is here now and down there on Wall Street. There are pagans who are choosing these blasphemous idols. So all we need is patience. The only thing I'm afraid of is that we will someday just go home, and then we will meet once a year, drinking beer and nostalgically remembering what a nice time we had here. Promise ourselves that this will not be the case. People often desire something but do not really want it. Don't be afraid to really want what you desire. Thank you.
When this war strip me naked, I'll turn and I'll face it and really believe I have the strength to change it. I'm crazy, it's blatant, sometimes I get carried away. When this war strip me naked, I'll turn and I'll face it and really believe I have the strength to change it. I'm crazy, it's blatant, sometimes I get carried away. War strip me naked, I turn and I face it and really believe I have the strength to change it. I'm crazy, it's blatant, sometimes I get carried away. When this war strip me naked, I turn and I face
hope
it.
Hope posits that people are drawn to the good by the good. This is the secret of hope's power. Hope demands for others what we demand for ourselves. Hope does not separate us from them. Hope sees in our enemy our own face. Hope is not for the practical and the sophisticated, the cynics and the complacent, the defeated and the fearful. Hope is what the corporate state, which saturates our airwaves with lies, seeks to obliterate. Hope is what this corporate state is determined to crush. Be afraid, they tell us. Surrender your liberties to us so we can make the world safe from terror. Don't resist. Embrace the alienation of our cheerful conformity. Buy our products. Without them, you are worthless. Become our brands. Do not look up from your electronic hallucinations, no. Above all, do not think. Obey.
idea of helping the people of Iraq was the driving factor for me going there. And then once occupying their country and doing consistent raids and pulling their homes apart, and watching essentially being in that country for 5 years and watching the infrastructure degrade instead of improve, it was kind of a sharp realization so that there was nothing that was actually going on benefiting the people of Iraq by any means. In fact, consistent night raids, checkpoints, and harassment was the daily routine for what we were doing to the people of Iraq. And I don't think from a moral standpoint that anybody that understands that would not be in opposition to that, to the occupation of Iraq and Afghanistan.
What makes you such a threat?
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth.
Poverty, poverty, poverty shouldn't exist. Shouldn't exist. Shouldn't exist. Shouldn't exist. Shouldn't exist. No, no.
It bothers me.
Keep the rich
and satisfy their greed.
While depriving other people of their basic living needs.
These
people most seem to lack the means. They're too selfish to care about people living their bad dreams. Imagine if people stopped buying jewelry and gave that money to those not thriving in the community. Yeah. Wait a minute, you still think the system is working? Just ask someone who is.
They say they're trying to cure cancer, spending billions, I read. We're not treating the preventable disease of selfish greed. When the share become bad and greed become the dream. I believe it was when those who claimed the land began trying to tell us what to read. Question what you read.
Charity and philanthropy. Dr. King said that these acts are problematic when they don't address the reasons
why it needs to get enacted. We don't need charity. What we need to see is working class solidarity.
Jails a slave labor force. Why you think they don't want the drug laws off course?
They teach lessons like that slavery ended, but the 13th Amendment is set us over unless you get convicted of a crime.
If you in prison, they can work you all day for a dime.
And the poor can't afford the right lawyer and a bond. The type that can free you at the trial from the time. Justice ain't blind. It's got an eye for the rich.
Was inclined to go free while the poor throw in jails for selling and smoke weed.
You for the drug war?
That's war on the poor. But the poor don't own planes, they're flying into the community. The hood don't make guns, gun makers get immunity. Harriet Tubman said this in her days. I could have freed 1,000 more who didn't know they were slaves. Capitalism, are you happy with the system?
They try to excuse it with acts.
Charity and philanthropy. Dr. King said that these acts are problematic when they don't address the reasons
why it needs to get enacted. We don't need charity. What we need to see is working class solidarity.
Metaphorically, I'm like a metaphor without comparison. If you can afford 99 Fords like Harrison, sneaker makers sneak how they sneak in slave labor.
Corporations pollute the air, they do it major.
They can afford the fines they gave. Now or later, there's another way for them to pay for misbehavior.
Taking away their power and bringing it to the people.
In a new system where greed is illegal.
They only give us a job if it makes their pockets fatter. They don't give us no jobs to solve the problems that matter. They say Barack Obama is the man, but he's down with the program. That's why he sends drones in to bomb Pakistan. Two parties, one plan. The man wanna keep us under an old rule, the golden rule, where he who has the gold makes the rules. We don't need his charity, you wanna give us charity.
Charity and philanthropy. Dr. King said that these acts are problematic when they don't address the reasons
why it needs to get enacted. We don't need charity. What we need to see is working class solidarity.
Poverty is not civilized, yeah. Poverty can't have us in our lives, yeah.
Can't rely on the authorities to fix the problems. For the majority, they usually are the cause of the eradication of the root cause of poverty. People like you and me could get it fixed properly.
It's up to us in solidarity to make a better system.
I'ma give you a glimpse of it now if you listen.
Picture the system it's replacing.
Yeah.
The workers controlling all their own workplaces. People of all ages working in cooperation. All people have jobs for needs, not for profit. A time to more culture of violence, cause we stopped and we embraced.
Cause poverty no longer exists.
Technology helps all and not just the rich. Our work benefits the whole community where we stay. We all have a real say on the issues of the day.
We have plenty of time for play and time to get away.
Together we can make it happen. Make it happen. Get involved. We all be doing a lot more. Get involved. We all be doing a lot more. So what you waiting for?
This ain't just about being able to sit at the lunch counter, but about everybody being able to afford the lunch.
Thank you to all my people who fight the system. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting independent hip-hop.
Doing right.
What's doing right is that it's peaceful, that it's thoughtful, that the people are courageous, and that they have honest intentions. And no matter how they try to frame them, they are very, very politically astute and know what they want.
Make God build out! Make God build out!
ये दुनिया ये जिंदगी वन 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 ये हमारी हार आपकी है वन 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 ये किस्मत दिस्तानी वन 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 ये हमारी हार आपकी है One 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 yeah. The walls between us must fall. One 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 yeah. Rise up, up hatred. One 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 yeah. For your children, children. One 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 yeah. Make a better day, a better way. What are you dreaming? World City Sun. What are you dreaming?
Now, Occupy Wall Street tells me that millions of Americans have seen through the lies about the bailouts, the need for foreign wars, the war on terror, the drug war, and that millions more are going to do so. They're discovering how many lies have been told about the benefit of competition or the rationality of selfishness. It seems to me pretty obvious that humanity could do with more compassion and cooperation, more empathy with the natural world, something that I believe is directly opposed by the working of the money system. I recall Mike Ruppert's insistence last week that unless you change the way money works, you change nothing. Now, I'd like to conclude the show with my help on thinking big. I've trimmed a few bits, but I've only changed a dozen or so words in the following speech by Kennedy in 1963.
Good evening, my fellow citizens. This nation was founded by men of many nations and backgrounds. It was founded on the principle that all men are created equal, and that the rights of every man are diminished when the rights of one man are threatened. Today, we are committed to a worldwide struggle to promote and protect the rights of all who wish to be free. It ought to be possible, therefore, for American students to attend any public institution they select without having to be backed up by financial resources. It ought to be possible for American consumers to receive equal service in places of public accommodation, such as hotels and restaurants, theaters and retail stores, without being forced to resort to demonstrations in the street. It ought to be possible, in short, for every American to enjoy the privileges of being American without regard to his race or his economic resources. In short, every American ought to have the right to be treated as he would wish to be treated, as one would wish his children to be treated. But this is not the case. Difficulties over economic discrimination exist in every city, in every state of the Union, producing in many cities a rising tide of discontent that threatens the public safety. Nor is this a partisan issue. In a time of domestic crisis, men of goodwill and generosity should be able to unite regardless of party or politics. This is not even a legal or legislative issue alone. It is better to settle these matters in the courts than on the streets, and new laws are needed at every level. But law alone cannot make men see right. We are confronted primarily with a moral issue. It is as old as the scriptures and is as clear as the American Constitution. The heart of the question is whether all Americans are to be afforded equal rights and equal opportunities, whether we are going to treat our fellow Americans as we want to be treated. If an American, because of becoming unemployed, cannot eat lunch in a restaurant open to the public, if he cannot send his children to the best public school available, if, in short, he cannot enjoy the full and free life which all of us want, then who among us would be content to have his economic position changed and stand in his place? Who among us would then be content with the counsels of patience and delay? 100 years of delay have passed since President Lincoln freed the slaves, yet their heirs are not fully free. They are not yet freed from the bonds of injustice. They are not yet freed from an economic oppression. And this nation, for all its hopes and all its boasts, will not be fully free until all its citizens are free. We preach freedom around the world, and we mean it. And we cherish our freedom here at home. But are we to say to the world, and much more importantly, to each other, that this is a land of the free, except for the poor, that we have no second-class citizens, except for the poor, that we have no ghettos, no master race, no class or caste system, except with respect to governing. Now the time has come for this nation to fulfill its promise. The events in Wall Street and elsewhere have so increased the cries for equality that no city or state or legislative body can prudently choose to ignore them. The fires of frustration and discord are burning in every city, north and south. Where legal remedies are not at hand, redress is sought in the streets, in demonstrations, parades, and protests, which create tensions and threaten violence and threaten lives. We face, therefore, a moral crisis as a country and a people. It cannot be met by repressive police action. It cannot be left to increased demonstrations in the streets. It cannot be quieted by token moves or talk. It is a time to act, and the Congress, in your state, and local legislative body, and above all of our daily lives. A great change is at hand, and our task, our obligation, is to make that revolution peaceful and constructive for all. Those who do nothing are inviting shame as well as violence. Those who act boldly are recognizing right as well as reality. Next week, I shall ask the Congress of the United States to act, to make a commitment it has not fully made in this century to the proposition that finance has no place in American life or law. The federal judiciary has upheld that proposition in a series of forthright cases. The executive branch has adopted that proposition in the conduct of its affairs, including the employment of federal personnel, the use of federal facilities, and federal housing. But there are other necessary measures which only the Congress can provide, and they must be provided at this session. I am therefore asking the Congress to enact legislation giving all Americans the right to be served in facilities which are open to the public. Hotels, restaurants, theaters, retail stores, and similar establishments. This seems to me to be an elementary right. Its denial is an arbitrary indignity that no American should have to endure, but many do. I have recently met with scores of business leaders, urging them to take voluntary action to end this economic discrimination. And I've been encouraged by their response. And in the last 2 weeks, over 75 cities have seen progress made in desegregating these kinds of facilities. But many are unwilling to act alone. And for this reason, nationwide legislation is needed if we are to move this problem from the streets to the courts. I'm also asking Congress to authorize the federal government to participate more fully in lawsuits designed to end economic segregation in public education. We have succeeded in persuading many districts to desegregate voluntarily. But legislation, I repeat, cannot solve this problem alone. It must be solved in the homes of every American, in every community across our country. In this respect, I want to pay tribute to those citizens north and south who've been working in their communities to make life better for all. They are acting not out of sense of financial duty, but out of the sense of human decency. They are meeting freedom's challenge on the firing line, and I salute them for their honor and their courage. My fellow Americans, this is a problem which faces us all, in every city of the North as well as the South. Today, young people, particularly out of work, without hope, denied equal rights, denied the opportunity to eat at a restaurant or a lunch counter or go to a movie theater, denied the right to a decent education, denied the right to attend a state university even though qualified. It seems to me that these are matters which concern us all, not merely presidents or congressmen or governments, but every citizen of the United States. This is one country. It has become one country because all of us and all the people who came here had an equal chance to develop their talents. We cannot let 1% of the population say that you can't have that right. Your children can't have the chance to develop whatever talents they have. That the only way that they are going to get their rights is to go in the street and demonstrate. I think we owe them and we owe ourselves a better country than that. Therefore, I'm asking for your help in making it easier for us to move ahead and provide the kind of equality of treatment which we would want ourselves. To give a chance for every child to be educated to the limit of his talents. As I've said before, not every child has an equal talent or an equal ability or equal motivation. But they should have the equal right to develop their talent and their ability and their motivation to make something of themselves. This is what we're talking about. And this is a matter which concerns this country and what it stands for. And meeting it, I ask the support of all of our citizens. Thank you very much.
This and all previous episodes on Welcome Guests are available for download as MP3s from unwelcomeguests.net/archive. There's a mailing list at altruists.org/unwelcome for any discussion relevant to the show. Our theme music, Unwelcome Guest, is performed by Billy Bragg and Wilco, with lyrics by Woody Guthrie. Thank you for listening. Keep giving all you can.
Unwelcome travelers, another brave